Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs. Why is it that Democrats are refusing to debate? And then Colonel Alan West talks about what we could do to keep red states red and keep these blue states from infecting our beautiful red communities. As always, you can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Open up your podcast app and type Charlie Kirk Show in your podcast search bar and hit subscribe. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Turning Point USA, you could stay engaged, get involved, start a high school chapter. That is tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. And Carrie Lake is doing very well in the state of Arizona. And I want to just brag on Carrie Lake for a minute. Carrie Lake is running one of the most unconventional campaigns. And if Carrie Lake wins, which it sure looks like she will, it will be a shock to the entire American political consultant class. Carrie Lake has ignored advice from all the quote experts, so-called experts. She does Ask Me Anything forums where she takes questions from everybody in the audience. Who does that when you run for office? Not Fetterman or Katie Hobbs. No, they just run to the hills and they stay away from the media. Carrie Lake likes the media. Carrie Lake wants the media. It's fascinating. And look, I've told Carrie a couple times, I'm like, hey, maybe you should, you know, moderate on some of this stuff and you do have to really lean in. And she's like, I'm just going to go all in. I said, okay, fine. And I had my doubts, and not to say that it was a disagreement. I was just like, man, this is a very cavalier campaign and it's working. You know, recent polls show that Carrie is up. Some show that she's down. I'm telling you, on the ground, it looks great. You got to look at these races on the ground. Katie Hobbs is boring. She is corrupt. She's racist. She's a very racist person. She doesn't like black people. It's well documented. And Katie Hobbs also is so smug. And I got to tell you, Carrie is so authentic and Katie is synthetic. And so Katie Hobbs continues by saying, I'm not going to be part of the spectacle of debating. Carrie Lake. So let's go through this whole thing. It's this back and forth between Katie Hobbs. So for those of you in the national audience, it's a governor's race between Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs. One of the most important races in the country this midterm election cycle. Top five, no doubt. If Carrie Lake becomes governor, she is going to be profoundly impactful. She's going to secure the southern border, declare it an emergency border authorization emergency. We're going to have some serious progress and wins if Carrie Lake wins, and I think she will. So this is Katie Hobbs, who is the Secretary of State, corrupt racist, who says that she can't debate Carrie Lake because her schedule's too pretty set. Look, I don't have time. I don't have time to debate, to talk to voters. Play cut four.
Are you saying this morning that there is no circumstance that you can envision or would even try to negotiate in which you and Carrie Lake would appear at a debate together before the election?
At this point in the race, with 30 days to go, our schedule in terms of forums is pretty much set.
My schedule's set. I can't talk to you. Here's the thing is that I'll be very honest. I thought going into the general election, I'm new to Arizona. I'm new to Arizona politics, and Tyler Boyer, who runs Turning Point Action for us, is kind of the Arizona wizard with this stuff. He told me for a while, Katie Hobbs is not a good candidate. And I heard him, but I thought, man, there's no way that she could be this awful. She's lauded by the media. She is terrible. She's not a good candidate. She doesn't speak well. She's not smart. She's just not. Doesn't process information quickly. She's very controllable. Doesn't have a unique thought ever. It's just whatever she's being fed. And I just get so fired up when I see these candidates pander. I hate pandering. Hate it. Hillary Clinton pandered. Joe Biden pandered. Remember when Joe Biden says, you ain't black if you don't vote for me. So Katie Hobbs was part of this seminar with the Latino community, or the Latinx community, if you will. This you will cringe yourself. You can't watch this without saying, ooh. And this is who the Democrats are putting up. This is why I think Carrie Lake is going to win by many points. Play cut six.
What have you learned, specifically learned from the Latino community?
Oh, that's a great question. My sister-in-law, she is Latino, and her family, I love hanging out with them and practicing my Espanol un poquito.
So there's not one specific lesson you could share with me, other than Espanol with you. It's one third of the state.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
So I think that, never mind. I think our audience, you guys probably heard it the same I did, which was it was very hard to understand what she was saying. Where Katie Hobbs was asked the question, that's a great question, practicing my Espanol un poquito. And the reporter said, so there's not one specific lesson you could share other than Espanol? Katie Hobbs, the Democrats have very little to any bench. Their bench is just shallow in so many different ways. She doesn't even answer. She just stuttered. I mean, Biden and Fetterman, these people are so underqualified. And so now there's this new video from Project Veritas of Katie Hobbs being recorded. It's awesome. Project Veritas action. They do such a good job. And again, you have to wonder if you're Katie Hobbs, what is your path to victory at this point? Play cut 67.
R.C. Maxwell's Project Veritas action. I'm going to ask a brief question about the statements that he's made.
Oh, I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk politics to anyone who I don't know. I would love nothing more than the opportunity to have a substantive conversation about the issues. And Carrie Lake has shown that she's capable of doing that. So we are providing opportunity for folks to hear me around the state, and we're going to keep doing it.
We have a lot of concerns about Katie's candidate. She's not debating Carrie Lake, which is...
Why not?
We don't know.
If you're an Arizona Democrat, do you think things are going well? And the answer is like, oh, yeah, they think things are just going swimmingly and the polls are tightening and all that. You have these recent tracking polls between Katie Hobbs and Carrie Lake, and it's looking very, very good for Carrie Lake in more ways than one. And Katie Hobbs is spending massive amounts of money on television, just pouring money into the airways. And of course, Katie Hobbs is funded by out-of-state kind of Silicon Valley oligarch types that want to change and transform Arizona into kind of a California surrogate state, to kind of become a satellite state of California. And I don't think it's resonating. I don't. But you kind of look at the type of campaign that Carrie Lake is running. I mean, unconventional doesn't even begin to describe it. It's grassrootsy. It's gritty. She's focused. She understands the issues that Arizonans care about. And Carrie Lake also has almost ubiquitous name ID. Carrie Lake was on local television for nearly 25, 30 years. And I have to say that the idea that Katie Hobbs is refusing to debate is actually turning into a much bigger political downside than if Katie Hobbs just went and lost in the debate. She's getting asked about it all the time. It's turned into a much bigger political liability than Katie Hobbs double and triples down on it. And everywhere she goes, people say, well, why won't you just debate her? If she's such a threat to democracy, then beat her in a debate. Like, oh, I don't have time for that. And the message of, like, not debating by saying there is no debate to be had, it's so totalitarian and fascist when you think about that. Oh, yeah, I don't need to debate my opponents. I mean, just in a couple minutes when we're done here, I'm going to be heading to the University of Texas Austin, and we're going to have some debates. We're going to have some disagreement. We're going to have some spirited conversation. And we'll see if anybody actually wants to talk. There will be. It's a large campus. There'll be some people that want to talk about it. I'm sure they'll want to talk about abortion, because that is a huge focus for young people. And we'll have a conversation about that. We'll see if we can actually talk about other issues as well, but we'll see. This idea of I'm too good to debate you, you're seeing it manifest in other races all across the country. It's really shocking to me. And it's just as if they know their ideas are so indefensible that they don't even want to show up to be able to debate. Charlie Kirk here. Look, I've told you about producer Andrew and how Relief Factor has really improved his life and relieved the pain in his knees and back. Now, let me tell you about Yvonne in California. She says this, quote, "Both my husband and I are in our 70s and so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom from aches and pains like Relief Factor. I hear you, Yvonne. Relief Factor works for me too. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free solution developed by doctors based on scientific research to help your body attack the underlying inflammation causing you pain. 3 weeks from now, you could be doing the things you enjoy doing. Your first step to becoming pain-free could be just to order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. After trying Relief Factor, over 500,000 people have gone on to order more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Live your best life and feel the difference with Relief Factor."
Yeah, I'm just fascinated by this entire thing of we don't allow debate, but it's a theme, isn't it? You can't debate whether or not someone is trans on Twitter. You can't debate the vaccine on YouTube. Katie Hobbs does not want to debate Carrie Lake. It's a theme. Debate is a threat to the regime. Suppression is the last gasp of a failing regime. They must be able to shut you up. They must be able to silence you. And having dialogue, having conversation where you might be able to find common ground and we might be able to have some form of a moderate solution, that's not allowed. You know, the lack of debate, I really believe, radicalizes our politics. I think debate gets us closer towards moderate and prudent and common sense solutions for everybody. When you don't debate, then you can misrepresent your opponent. It's not a good sign when these candidates do this. Play cut 68.
And it doesn't do any service to the voters in terms of deciding, looking at the contrast between us and how we're going to govern. If all she's going to do is shout over me, interrupt me, and spew lies. So she certainly will not go unanswered. We've looked for opportunities for formats where I can talk directly to voters. They can hear directly from me without the spectacle that Carrie Lake is going to create.
She's just going to shout. What are you talking about? Carrie Lake doesn't shout. She's getting a shout. There's this Arizona Central article, how to watch the non-existent Arizona debate between Katie Hobbs and Carrie Lake. This is not going well for Katie Hobbs. It isn't. It says, how to watch a debate between Arizona gubernatorial candidates in your imagination, because evidently it won't take place anywhere else. Hobbs has said that, quote, debating a conspiracy theorist like Carrie Lake, whose entire campaign platform is to cause enormous chaos and make Arizona the subject of national ridicule, would only lead to constant interruptions, pointless distractions, and childish name-calling. Still, no debate. What we lose without an Arizona governor's debate? Well, obviously, you know, what you lose is very obvious. I mean, it's just, like, clear. And you see, a debate is important because you have to be able to see how they stand under pressure. And, you know, debates don't always mean that much. That's what's so weird about the Katie Hobbs calculation is that all Katie Hobbs had to do was somewhat prepare, hire some Democrat swindling consultant. You're raising a bunch of money. You can afford it. Kind of just get a couple one-liners and then go out there. Look, I mean, Mark Kelly got completely obliterated by Blake Masters. Mark Kelly, I know, went to relieffactor.com after that debate because I don't think he could be able to even walk after Blake Masters metaphorically beat him. It was very aggressive. And I think, I mean, you look at Katie Hobbs, who just says, I want nothing to do with that. And it's causing a much deeper problem. And it opens this philosophical issue, which is the side that doesn't want the debate probably stands for some form of a totalitarian government. The person who is willing to take questions and dialogue and answer and lean in, I trust that person a lot more. Fetterman doesn't want to debate. He says, oh, well, I'll do one debate at the end of October. Yeah, once all the mail-in ballots are already in. Right. There's other instances, too, of people that don't want to debate. I mean, J.D. Vance just destroyed Tim Ryan in Ohio. Just ran him over. They know that. Because Republicans, we have truth on our side. And Democrats have a couple feel-good lines, and they have nothing to back up what they say. Nothing at all. It turns out that
the Republican conservative message is very popular right now, and it should be. So they just get absolutely massacred in these debates, and they say, you know what, it's not worth it. But it's turning into an incredible political liability for them, because decent independent voters in Arizona, which there are a lot of decent independent voters that are not Republican, they're not Democrat, the one thing that they won't put up with is candidates that don't want to debate. It feels very synthetic. It feels very planned, concocted, cowardly, and as if, oh, I got this in the bag, you're not worth my time. And any candidate that refuses to debate, like Maggie Hassan or whatever her name is, in New Hampshire, she just backed out of a scheduled debate. It shows that they don't respect their voters, that they don't think their voters need to see a collision of ideas. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. The world is in chaos, and it's going to cause food shortages like we've never seen before. Are you prepared? Do you have a stockpile of emergency food if the unthinkable happens? Well, if not, now is the time to get some emergency food for you and your family. Go to preparewithkirk.com. That is preparewithkirk.com, and you'll save $250 off a three-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest preparedness company. Each three-month kit is packed with delicious food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Right now, My Patriot Supply has no limit on how many kits you can acquire, and you'll get free shipping on your entire order. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. This is the lowest price in 3 years, so stock up now to make sure you have what you need. They come in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Make sure you have this food when the time comes, which could be soon. Get yours today at preparewithkirk.com. That is preparewithkirk.com. preparewithkirk.com. With us is Colonel Alan West, president of the American Constitutional Rights Union. Colonel, welcome to the program. I want to ask you, what is your take right now on the Herschel Walker situation in Georgia? I know you're friends with Herschel Walker. Some conservatives are turning their back on Herschel. And what's your thought on that? And how should we react to the media smear job of Herschel Walker?
Well, it's good to be with you, Charlie, and it's incredible. I'm out here at your compound in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're there in Texas where I live. So obviously our planes flew past each other in the middle of the day or the night. Look, the thing that we have to understand is that there are two different sets of rules for the left and for conservatives. And right now, I think there was an article written at townhall.com by, I think, Scott Moorhead, and he talked about looking beyond these, you know, these attacks and these things that people are bringing out, and focus on what is the long issue. Do we want to have Raphael Warnock continue to be a senator from the state of Georgia, continue to vote along a very dangerous agenda, which undermines the morality of this country? No person out there is completely perfect. The only perfect person to walk this earth is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we all have our flaws. And I think that one of the things we have to start looking at is, again, let's address the issues. And, you know, the left is always good about attacking personalities and character that they believe. But I think that in the long run, if you want to talk about who's going to be best for the state of Georgia, who's going to be best as a senator for the United States of America, without a doubt, it's Herschel.
And yeah, you've known Herschel for quite some time, and yeah, he denies the allegations, and he also has been very clear about his position on life and what he will do as a U.S. senator. Why is it, do you think, Alan, that so many people on the right kind of get weak knees at this kind of situation? I mean, we've seen so many, you know, awful character assaults, assassinations, Brett Kavanaugh, Donald Trump, and many times they turn out to be total and complete lies. Why do you think that people on the right have such short memories when it comes to this stuff?
Well, I was just going to bring up the example of President Trump. I mean, President Trump, if you want to talk about the life issue, had a complete epiphany, a complete metamorphosis, and he was the most pro-life president that we've ever seen. But the early Donald Trump was definitely not that. If you want to talk about, you know, some issues with character, what have you, there were plenty of those things that were brought out about President Trump. But in the long run, what happened for the United States of America? Our economy was strong. We were energy independent. Our military capability and capacity was restored. Our foreign policy was respected. And so, again, I think that what happens on our side is we end up participating in this Pavlovian-like experiment of the left, where we continue to react to these vicious, vile attacks that they put out there. Look at what just happened with Jennifer Ruth Green, an Air Force Academy graduate, an Air Force veteran, where they actually went in unauthorized, got her military personnel file and put it out there. And one of the things in her personnel file was she was the victim of sexual assault when she was in Iraq. And so this is what the left does. And we have to, you know, steel our resolve and stand up and not allow ourselves to be kowtowed to that, because the only thing they have, Charlie, is the name calling, the attacks against a person. And really, you're from Chicago. Saul Alinsky was from Chicago. That's his rules for radicals. You go after the person, you don't talk about the issues. And that's what they did to Donald Trump in 2020. They didn't talk about the issues. They hid away Joe Biden because they're trying to make us, not want to go out and support our candidates.
Yeah, that's well said. So let's talk about Texas. I mean, you're anchored in Texas. You do a great job there. You have Robert Francis O'Rourke running up against Greg Abbott. Obviously, you believe that Greg Abbott could be a lot more conservative and do a better job. But are you in a position now where you think, hey, we have to consolidate, we have to get behind Greg Abbott, even with some of the things we don't like? Maybe he's doing more good than bad, especially with the threat of Robert Francis O'Rourke. How should conservatives view maybe a lesser of two evils argument going into November, this close to the midterms?
You know, I really get tired of the lesser of two evils thing. I mean, we should really have outstanding candidates. I look at what is happening with Senator Mike Lee up in Utah, where you don't even have the other senator from Utah, Mitt Romney, supporting him. And so often the GOP establishment tells the constitutional conservative grassroots base to just shut up and vote for our person. And they always undermine the conservatives. You look at our legislative priorities. I was a Republican Party of Texas, and the legislative priorities that we had completely disavowed and dismissed by the leadership there in Texas. And I think that it comes a time when people get tired of being abused and cast aside and dismissed. Will Governor Greg Abbott win? Yeah, he'll end up winning. It'll be a lot tighter than people believe, because Texas is incredibly so transitioning to something we don't want to see happen. The left is very good at going into successful red states, and they take over the major urban population centers. And unfortunately, we have governors that go out to California, some of these other places, and they ask for these major businesses and corporations to move there.
That's exactly right.
We don't put a restriction on the amount of employees that they can bring in, instead of them hiring people in Texas or in Tennessee or in Georgia, what have you. So this is like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, what O'Rourke is doing, he's going out into the rural areas. I mean, he's going to Alpine, Texas, out in West Texas, and getting 600-some-odd people to show up. Fredericksburg, Texas. So I think that this is a lesson that has to be learned, and I think you're going to see a little bit different avenue going forward in Texas and some of our other strong red states.
Yeah, I don't think Robert Francis is going to win. I think it's going to be tighter than people think. That's such an important point, though, that you bring up, Colonel West, where you mention how these red state governors, they will go to other states, and it seems good, right? It seems like a great idea. I just recruited, you know, Cisco to go open up a new data center in Austin. And that's a good thing if all you care about is economic development, which obviously we care about. But then you gotta say, hold on a second, wait a second. So they're gonna bring 600 26-year-olds from San Francisco to Austin, Texas. What is their value system, right? And so, and then that you multiply that over a longer period of time, and are you recruiting business or are you recruiting Democrat voters? Now, it's one thing to say, hey, like, let's go build a new plant, go hire Texans. Okay, great, terrific, right? Wages go up, the labor pool is restricted, but then you bring in out-of-staters that generally don't share your values. Well, then you all of a sudden start to see a state turn and flip. You know, so Colonel, why, look, just build that out a little bit more for us. Is this driven by the Chamber of Commerce? Are they stupid? Are they dumb? Are they corrupt? Are they all of it? Walk us through it.
All the above. You know, I was born and raised in Georgia, and Georgia used to be a powerful, you know, conservative red state. I mean, it's the largest landmass state east of the Mississippi River, 159 counties. But who controls Georgia now? It is the Atlanta metropolitan area, Macon, Savannah, Columbus, and Augusta. But what was the big change in Georgia was that we went out and asked Hollywood to move to Georgia. And we gave them all of these tax abatements and things of that nature. And now Georgia is completely different. And the same thing is happening in Texas. Yes, we want to have a thriving economy in Texas. We want to be a big tech hub. But you got to think about some of the people that you're allowing to come in. Instead of growing your own talent organically within the state of Texas, you're going out and you're getting Google and you're getting Meta and all of these other people. You just talked about Cisco. And the other thing, when you combine it with what you are doing, is so important. You have these leftist colleges and universities there in Texas. You're going to go speak at the University of Texas, Austin. That is rated as one of the worst campuses for conservative students in the United States of America. And then furthermore, you're allowing leftism to creep in into your high schools, into your independent school districts. Who would have ever thought that in Texas we'd have drag queen story hour, or we'd have kids going to drag shows, or child gender modification surgery in Texas? But yet that was one of the legislative priorities that the Republican-controlled legislature in Texas and Governor Greg Abbott did nothing to rectify or resolve. Why? You follow the money. Fastest growing medical clinics in Texas are gender modification clinics. Second largest facility for killing unborn babies in the womb in the world is located in Houston, Texas. So that just tells you some of the things that are happening.
Yeah, and so Colonel West, that's such a good point where you're talking about how the GOP legislature did nothing. And I mean, I go to Travis, you know, not Travis County. I go to, I guess, it would not be.
Austin is Travis County. Fort Worth is Tarrant County.
When I go to Houston, I can't remember what county it is.
Harris County. Harris County.
I just see a rapidly changing, you know, demographic. I see everything that is going in a much more liberal direction. Yeah, of course, Harris County. And so, you know, Colonel West, what should the agenda be for red states for us to preserve our values against these blue state invading imperialists?
Well, first and foremost, you don't invite them in. And if you do invite them in, you tell them that these are the standards. These are the rules here. You know, it is absolutely what Einstein called the pure definition of insanity to continue to do the exact same thing and think you're going to get different results. So why would you move your business here from a failing state, being a California, Illinois, New York, or New Jersey, and you want to turn a successful red state into where you just departed? And when you look at Houston and Harris County, I want you to think about it. That's the cradle of the oil and gas industry, darn near of the world. But yet we have people in Texas that are voting against their own interests with a strong oil and gas industry that made the United States of America energy independent. The number one exporter of liquefied natural gas in the world is Port Arthur, Texas. But yet we have people that are voting against that. And so we need to, as Republicans, come out and talk about these things. And I don't think we do a good job drawing that clear delineation between the progressive socialist left, the Marxists, and constitutional conservatives.
Yeah, that is such an important point. It just is so perplexing to me to see the oil capital of the world then voting against oil. I really think I'm going to be in Houston, Texas tomorrow. If I see a Tesla in Houston, Texas, I'm going to say this has been quite the green energy invasion. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. The southern border is wide open, and we have to tell the world about it. Our team at Turning Point USA has been working over the last year to have a one-of-a-kind documentary all about the drugs, the guns, the crime, the criminals that are flowing across the southern border. Our team at Turning Point USA has been working so hard on this through amazing frontline footage that shows the Border Patrol agents, shows people crossing the border, the illegal drug trade, the economic and societal fallout that illegal immigration has on the United States. Every single state is a border state. And we here, being headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona, want the rest of the country, want you all across America, to see what we are living through in Arizona. It's a one-of-a-kind docuseries available exclusively on SalemNow.com. That is SalemNow.com. You guys will see the porous southern border wide open and what we can do to solve it. If you want to learn about the border, this is your opportunity. Brought to you by Turning Point USA, available at SalemNow.com.
I can no longer remain in today's Democratic Party that's under the complete control of an elitist cabal of warmongers who are driven by cowardly wokeness, who divide us by racializing every issue and stoking anti-white racism, who actively work to undermine our God-given freedoms that are enshrined in our Constitution, who are hostile to people of faith and spirituality, who demonize the police but protect criminals at the expense of law-abiding Americans, who believe in open borders, who weaponize the national security state to go after their political opponents, and above all, who are dragging us ever closer to nuclear war. Now, I believe in a government that's of the people, by the people, and for the people. Unfortunately, today's Democratic Party does not. Instead, it stands for a government that is of, by, and for the powerful elite. Now, I'm calling on my fellow common sense, independent-minded Democrats to join me in leaving the Democratic Party. If you can no longer stomach the direction that the so-called woke Democratic Party ideologues are taking our country, then I invite you to join me.
That was an incredible clip. And I want to tell you that really, that was one of those Saul to Paul epiphany moments. And I think what Tulsi Gabbard has come to the realization, she is a commissioned officer in the United States Army. And I would say that every single person that is a veteran and people that have served, you take an oath to the Constitution of the United States of America. And I don't understand how anyone that has taken an oath to the Constitution of the United States of America aligned themselves with a group of individuals, a political ideology and philosophy of governance that is the antithesis. It is anathema to our constitutional republic. And so I think that she has come to that realization. And here was someone that once upon a time was on the platform to run to be a president nominee from the Democrat Party that endorsed Bernie Sanders, an avowed, quote unquote, Democrat socialist. But now she's realizing the dangers of that philosophy of governance, mm-hmm. which has evidenced itself throughout history to be dangerous. And so I think that more veterans are going to sit back and say, you know, I took an oath to this Constitution. These people do not believe and stand for the Constitution, which really is a restraining document on the powers of the federal government and is empowering to the individuals and especially, as you talked about, Charlie, the states. And we got to get back to that system of federalism. And so I welcome her coming away from that incredible cabal of, you know, dangerous people.
Mm-hmm. Well, Colonel Alan West, I couldn't agree more. It's amazing how many veterans still vote Democrat. It just doesn't make sense to me. Colonel Alan West, hope to see you soon. Glad you were in Phoenix. Thanks so much for joining us. Great job. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, everybody. I want to just read some emails here. freedom@charliekirk.com. Charlie, I have talked to people who work in Houston for oil companies who vote Democrat. They say Democrat decisions don't affect them directly. They literally say that. They want to get rid of fossil fuels, and they think their decisions don't affect them directly. Amazing. Go to this one here. Charlie, I really want to know what's going on with Fetterman. What is the deeper health issue? I don't quite understand it. Thanks, Laura. Yeah, we don't either. It's a serious question. Hey, Charlie, love the show. Are we Republicans ready for what the Democrats might do at the last minute to win elections? Do we have a plan in place? Don't we need to be one step ahead of them? Are we ready? I totally agree. We've talked about that on this program. What suppression? What October surprise? What sort of mule operation might they be implementing? We have to be vigilant, everybody. I do not trust these people, and I know you don't either. They have something up their sleeve. After what we saw in 2020, we have to be vigilant. We've gone through the threat analysis of what they could potentially do coming into the midterm election, and I'm not convinced Republicans are prepared. Why wouldn't they just do it again? In some states, we made some fixes, but we need poll watchers. We need all sorts of different things. We also need to secure our vote by voting in person and no longer putting your vote in an envelope. Show up on election day with 5 friends, with 10 friends, with 15 friends, right on election day. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.